Hey, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to The Afterlife. Enjoy the episode. This episode has been sponsored by my business, Lauren Grace Inspirations. I'm a business and life mentor, a workshop facilitator, a soul-led entrepreneur, and host of The Afterlife podcast. I'm passionate about supporting people like you through transformative courses, mentorship, and trainings so that you can live the life that you choose. I love all things time management and helping the people that I work with to master their mindset. I truly believe that life is a precious gift, and when we can learn to be at one with our thoughts, when we can learn to love ourselves, control and master our time, we really can live an extraordinary life. I have a whole bunch of free offers on my website, and I strongly encourage you to go and check them out. I'd love to keep in touch with you. You can find me over at Lauren Grace Inspirations on all the socials, as well as laurengraceinspirations.com. And I strongly encourage you to sign up for my newsletter. 2 times a month, at least, I send a positive newsletter that's all about helping you to live the best life possible. I always include a card of the day, a business or a strategy tip, and I also include a spiritual lesson. I would love to have you join me, and I'd love to join you on your journey. Thank you and enjoy the episode. And we are live. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Light Hour. I am Lauren Grace.
Oh, sorry. I'm not awake yet.
That's all right. And your name, Candace, my sister?
Candace Planch. Candace Planch, how are you?
We are so, I am great. And I know you're great too. And we're so happy to be here today again for our Light Hour. This is, I think, the third one that we've done. And I've got to say, the feedback's been fantastic. I love being able to connect with you. You and I have two very different backgrounds, which is always really interesting because we're able to really complement each other in a lot of ways. I think we have a lot of similar values as well, been on the spiritual journey for, you know, probably similar amount of time. So today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be answering your questions on business, healing, and spirituality. Candace and I have been collecting questions for a while now. And so we've got sort of like a repertoire of questions we're going to be picking from and answering. And so if you watching would like to leave a question for us, please do just leave a comment wherever you're watching this. We are live on Facebook, on YouTube, and on two Facebook pages, actually. We would love to answer your questions. One of the things as well that's really important to remember is always to put things through your own filter and make sure that they resonate with you. And we'd love to jam with you on some of our ideas. So if you have a particular, you know, maybe thought on something that we're talking about or some expertise or some suggestions, we'd love to hear from you as well. Now, Candace, maybe you can let our listener at home know a little bit about who you are, what you do, and anything else you want to add, what you're up to this week.
Absolutely. So I'm Candace Planch. I am a crystal healing master and a Reiki master, and I have a healing space, Laramalite Healing, and I am on a spiritual journey, and which started from a place of very, very heavy depression, anxiety, and I love sharing, you know, what I've learned, and I think every day you would find it, Lauren, as well. Every day you just learn and grow, and it's this beautiful experience that I feel so grateful now to be able to share with people, share all the things that I have, I guess, stumbled through, because I tried a lot of things and some resonated and some different didn't. And as you said, Lauren, like with anything that we say, you know, I say it to my clients as well, these are suggestions, or, you know, this worked for me or this works for some of my clients, but you have to tap into yourself and go, yes, this resonates with me. And no, I'm just going to leave that. So for sure.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, life in general, and especially being on the spiritual journey, is a lot about deciphering your own truth as you go. Because I think that, you know, some of the ideas that I really resonated with many years ago, I don't necessarily resonate with them the same way now. Like maybe I've sort of added to them or manipulated them in a different way. And so I think that's a big part about just progress on the spiritual path. Also for our listener at home and our viewer, if I sound a little bit husky, it's because I'm working through a little bit of a cold. So just putting that out there in case I'm sniffling away.
She's getting her sexy voice on. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, why don't we get into it? So as we said earlier, I'll introduce myself quickly. So my name is Lauren Grace. That's what's going to happen, right, with your little bit foggy mind. So Candace, pull me up.
I think today this is the day. I think we're both a little bit, and this is probably the perfect day. You get to see us as we are, and that not every day we're not always on the ball. So let's get into it.
We should probably talk about grounding at some point. Yeah. So my name is Lauren Grace. I am a business and life mentor, and I'm also the host of the Afterlight podcast with Lauren Grace. And I help soul-led entrepreneurs to master their mindset through my online challenge, which is called Master Your Mindset 21 Days to a More Confident You. And so, if you are wanting to build in confidence, I really would love you to join me in that challenge, and all the details can be found in the comments here. So just for our viewers who are logging on now, if you have any questions about healing, business, or spirituality, Candace and I are going to be here answering all of your questions. So Candace is going to start off things right now, and we've got a question, which is, ever had a spiritual, it's this one that you wanted. Is that correct? When feeling a bit spiritually drained, how do you recharge? That is such a good one. So
this one jumped out at me because this happened to me maybe 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was really, really kind of involved in something and so excited to be learning something new and just expanding my mind. And I don't jump into things halfway. And I just found that I was so drained, it wasn't even funny. I was exhausted. I was a bit absent-minded, and it really, really impacted everything that I was doing. My family noticed and everything like that. So when I saw this question, I was like, this is perfect, because I think we get into, especially in spirituality, we know all the, like, I feel like, especially for me, I know the things, I know what works for me, but do I forget what works for me and I don't see it until suddenly I'm leaving, the stove on or just not being 100% present. My husband's pulling me up and going, you're not quite with us today. So feeling a bit spiritually drained, how do I recharge? So the first thing is I try to check in with myself every day and remind myself. Now, of course, when I'm feeling drained, everything feels too hard and I often forget to do it. But by checking in, I just place my hands on my heart, or if I'm just, so when I was exhausted, it did take a couple of days of me like just pushing on and going, oh, it's because I'm not getting enough sleep, and it didn't matter how much sleep I was getting. So I just place my hands on my body and just say, what do you need? I love you. I hear you. I'm listening to what you're saying, body, or, I understand that you're tired. Tell me what you need right now. And sometimes that takes quite a few times. Like it'll be like, oh, I need everyone to go away or whatever. But for me, recently it was that I had gotten so caught up in what I was kind of projecting myself towards that suddenly I felt not like everything that I was doing was suddenly not good enough. And I forgot really who I was, which is crazy, because I went 1 minute from feeling so empowered to suddenly just doubting and being in that real ego mindset where my brain was going, you're not good enough. That whole imposter syndrome, I guess, kicked in. So first and foremost, I stop everything. I usually give myself a day or two. Literally shut off everything that I've been doing. So if there is a stress or something that if I've been reading something new, especially I find it if you're reading something new that's expanding you a little bit spiritually, it can sometimes be a lot. It takes a while for your brain to digest it. So I like to put it away. So I told myself, no, for 2 days, nothing. I'm not touching it. So I gave myself the entire weekend. I had to move around a few clients and they totally understood, because I want to be at my best. So definitely just come back to yourself, give yourself a break, because most of the time when you're spiritually drained, it's just because you're not listening to yourself. you know, you've kind of lost way of who you are or why you're doing what you're doing, especially if you're an empath. You've got to fill your cup up, give it to other people. So, and then, of course, what you're told by yourself could be different for everyone. It might be you just need to have a bath. You need to stop drinking coffee in the morning or stop having that glass of wine because it's just you're not sleeping because you're not having – you're having a glass of wine every night or whatever it is. Just listen in and give yourself – it might take 10 minutes of just sitting there, but you will get an answer, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. I think what you said was really important too because you were talking about being able to identify when you are feeling spiritually drained. And I think that sometimes when we're adding – or when we're acting maybe out of character or things aren't easy or not joyful, those are some of those telltale signs. Or like you said, I felt that you were talking a lot about your absent-mindedness as well. So that to me makes me think that you're not really grounded, right? You're kind of like up in la-la land a little bit. You're not really here.
My mind was just thinking about this and I had this timeline and suddenly this timeline was like, I need it now and what's happening right now is not good enough, which is, just crazy. And you find if you're in that, and especially speaking of being spiritually drained, if you're spiritually drained by the people around you, that's generally what happens. You're becoming more agitated with people. The things that would usually not really be too much of a bother, the dog barking or you know, the neighbor parking in a weird place so you have to swerve around them or putting their bin in a weird place would suddenly just make you go, oh, which is nothing in the grand scheme of things, but you know, it's picking up on those little annoyances as quick as you can so that you can kind of pull it back and check in. And if you can get into that habit of checking in with yourself daily, then it's like a really quick thing. How am I feeling today? Oh, you're good, girl. Okay, cool. And we move on. Like, you know, but if you get into that habit of just checking in every day, what do I need? Oh, yep, okay. I need five minutes with my loved one, just completely alone to tell them I love them or whatever it is that, you know, I need a big hug. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's on your list of things to get done today.
I really relate to that question too right now because I'm, you know, have a little bit of a cold that, you know, I'm shifting and I hurt my back. And so it's like, whoa, what's going on here? You know? And I think sometimes like our body doesn't lie. My body is saying in some way that maybe I need to take a bit of time out to rest. And sometimes I feel guilty about doing that, you know, where I go, oh, I'm going to take the afternoon off to just rest and sleep because I'm feeling unwell. And that's exactly the time that we have to do it, you know, because this isn't my scenario all the time. I mean, I maybe get a cold like once every 2 years or something like that. So it's not a huge deal, but it's my body's way of saying, hey, maybe you need to actually slow down, rest, rejuvenate, and then get ready. Because I kind of like the idea that maybe there's something major coming that's going to be super exciting and need a lot more of my energy. And so it's sort of like preempting the fact that if I'm rejuvenating and resting right now, it's setting me up for that success. So I love that. It is, like you said, just listening to yourself. So if you are just tuning in, we are answering questions about business, spirituality, and healing. So if you've got a question on your mind, please leave it in the comments and Candace and I will answer them on this call. So I'm going to take over the next question here, which is, I love business questions, and I think you probably gravitate towards to a lot of healing questions. So we're the perfect match. Exactly. So this question is, I'm thinking of creating an online community. Am I too late? How do you personally connect with clients, forming your own tribe in this spiritual journey? So that's a really great question. And it's funny because it's something that I'm really thinking about at the moment. So number one, thinking of creating an online community, my recommendation would be to identify where your audience is and then create a community based on where they're spending their time. I think that one of the difficult things is to try to get people to create new habits and build new habits. So if we sometimes want people to be on our own platform, I'm not saying this is impossible. It really just depends on your audience that you currently have and how you've sort of been nurturing them. But sometimes it can be difficult to ask people to change new behavior or to change behavior to do something different. So for me, I've actually been entertaining with this idea at the moment about creating a Facebook group for women in business and who are spiritual minded. And so I think I'm going to be doing that because one of the things that I really am aware of is that when we have the opportunity to really connect as a community, I think we can really help elevate each other. We can really grow together. We can really support each other in sort of a different way. And I think that for me, as a podcast host, very often it's me delivering information and not always having a conversation with my listener or my viewer, which is why I love doing our chats here so that our listener viewer at home can really leave us some questions and we can really engage with them. So I guess to answer this question, it's not too late to create an online community. Identify who it is you serve and where they're spending their time. And then also look at the commitment that's going to take from you. One of the challenges that I find is that when we are business owners, we're really struggling to do, We're really attempting to do a lot of things all at once. It's remembering that not everything is equally important. It's identifying our priorities. It's making sure that what we're doing is going to yield a good return on investment and ROI. So if you're going to be creating an online community, what does that look like for you? How often can you show up? Is it going to be better for you to charge for that on Patreon, or is it better for you to have a Facebook group? Is it better for you to have a WhatsApp chat? Are your people on WhatsApp? So just kind of identifying what's going to work for you and then giving it a go, but really managing the expectations for yourself and making sure that you can deliver what it is you say you're going to do. So do you have any thoughts on that, Candace? Have you ever thought about that yourself? And how do you nurture, I guess, your own connection with your clients? And I will say on a side note as well, I also have a newsletter. So that's a good part that I do it, that I do nurture. But at the same time, I feel like in a big way, it's kind of a one-sided conversation. And I really want to open up to have a conversation that's not just me giving information.
Yeah. So your business, as far as the business side and the technical side of things, it is not my forte. I used to do women's circles, which I loved, and that was a beautiful way to connect with my little community, although there were only, there was a nice little close-knit group. I feel like it's not my strong suit, for one. However, I feel like anyone who's drawn to do anything, nothing is ever too late. If your heart is drawing you to create an online community, if it's coming from the right place, do it. If social media is your thing and you are passionate about it or you believe in it in that way, then do it and put your heart into it, and it's bound to, go somewhere. And I do feel like there is this push-pull around online communities now. People are, there was a big pull towards them. There was a little bit of a pull away from them. I do feel like that's coming back together. I'm seeing a lot more things popping up online. So it's really beautiful. And as you said, that's why I like doing things like this, because engaging in that platform, in that online community, creates that feel. So if you can create something that sets you, that feels authentic to you, then absolutely go for it. And any way you can connect with your, I generally stay in touch with my clients kind of one-on-one. A lot of their journeys are, quite private and so vastly different. So that's how I kind of connect in. Although emailing lists, I'm terrible at. Lauren keeps giving me advice on my email list because I'm terrible at keeping people up to date with what I've got going on. So, and we just had a few comments of people. Christine.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome. And if you have any questions, please pop them up. We would love to answer them. So
yes, perfect. And welcome as well to Onessa. Yes. And please do let us know. We're answering questions on healing, business, and spirituality. So Candace, I think you're up for the next question.
Yeah. So what is starting my healing journey and wondering about your experiences? I'm a bit nervous to get started. Yeah. So this is always a big one, the hardest thing, especially generally when we want to, start on a healing journey. We've been given some kind of, upset in our life, whether it's a physical ailment or whatever. And usually I find when people come, they've tried lots and lots of things. And I do feel that there is a lot of options out there, and it's really about finding something that firstly resonates with you. You will absolutely... you will stick with and get the best results out of something that really, that you just go, oh, if crystals are your thing, like if you're like, oh, I don't know anything about crystals, but I love crystals, then get a crystal book, go see a crystal healer and run with that. If you like to just zen out and you know, listen to sound, then go find a sound healer or something like that, because I do believe there's so many options out there and there is something for everyone. But I feel like my experience, a lot of my journey was done alone. I saw a psychologist to start with, and I got a lot out of that initially. I did find that it helped me feel like I could tell everything to someone and not burn my husband with it. But I found it very limiting for me, for what I wanted. And then I went and found a healer, and I tried a few different healers to find someone that clicked. So that's a huge thing. Yeah. Finding someone that makes you feel safe and comfortable, that has an environment that when you walk in, you just go, oh, okay, that you look forward to seeing, because that is, you know, half the battle. You don't want to go somewhere and be, you know, feeling like someone is judging you, or, you know, not feeling like you're going to get what you need out of it. So don't be afraid to try, you know, when you find someone, stick with them, because I don't think it's a great idea to chop and change between different healing modalities, only because every time you go to visit someone new, they are starting your journey again, basically. You're starting from scratch. So in order to get progression, you do need to be consistent. So be consistent, but try a few things. And when you find someone that you resonate with, then stick with it, because you will get results, and you'll form this trust relationship where you can grow and find someone that empowers you. A few healers that I saw, it kind of felt like I was, I felt like I needed to basically see them forever. That was sort of there was no timeline. Find someone who wants to empower you and be like, yeah, okay, right now you're struggling. We're going to, you know, you're coming to see me weekly, but let's get you to fortnightly. Let's get you to monthly. Let's push it out so that you feel empowered to.
Yes.
So that's really
so good, Candace, because I know someone who went and was like seeing a hypnotherapist, and then at a certain point the person was like, okay, you're good now, you can go do your thing. And yes, I think that's just the mark of a professional, and it's the mark of somebody who has the same values as you and me, which is about empowering the person to live their own spiritual journey. No one should ever be reliant on someone else for their healing journey, which is what you're saying. It's so important. I really want to reiterate that.
Yeah. It's something that especially initially, a few of my clients are usually shocked when in the first couple of sessions we're talking about, okay, yep, this is the, or they'll say, like, how often do I need to see you? And it's like, well, you know, now it's where you're comfortable at, but, you know, we want to push this so that you feel more comfortable. And here are some tools. Like, I will give my clients, you know, books on loan and stuff, read this, you know, try this, use these tools that, you know, a good healer or a good mentor or whatever it is that you're needing will provide you with tools to empower you so that you don't need them, because we're very conscious of all these things. Like, we want you to get better, or a good healer will want you to get better and to empower you to just, you know, take that journey, find your path and run with it. So,
yeah, 100%. That's so well said. All right. My next question. If you could have a cup of coffee with a spiritual guru, living or not, who would it be and why? And my question to you is, Candace, how long do we have for this question?
Exactly. Which is one?
Okay, let's choose, because I'm sure this is a question you're going to also want to answer, because it's so meaty and good. So why don't we just off the top of our head go with four? Okay, so my top four off the top of my head, in no particular order, and I will say as well, when we get these questions and we don't have a lot of time to think about that, I know I'm going to go away later and I'm going to go, oh, what about that person and that person? So, okay, can we say actually top five, Candace? Because while I'm doing the numbers right now, I'm thinking I actually need five. Okay, so I'm changing the rules. So my top five, and I'll just quickly summarize. I'll just quickly probably just say them, because we could spend the whole entire time on this.
I would say Oprah Winfrey, for sure. Been a huge influence in my life ever since I was a teenager watching her. She's changed the course of, I think, millions and millions of people's lives. Eckhart Tolle, he's the master of The Power of Now, A New Earth. He changed my life when I quit spirituality for 4.5 to 5 years, about 3-4 years ago. I just got into his work and really understood all about the power of now, the ego, and it really changed my life. And I don't think that I would ever be who I am now without his work. Stuart Wilde, that's W-I-L-D-E. Stuart Wilde is amazing. He's an incredible author and motivational speaker, and he's passed now. And yeah, I just find him to be so intelligent and interesting. Having a coffee with him would be the most incredible experience. I would love to also meet with Wayne Dyer. And actually, it's funny, as I said, Wayne Dyer, just felt really emotional for a second about that. I listened to a lot of his books, a lot of his audiobooks. I listened to his talks. Empower You Radio is an app that I subscribe to by Hay House, one of the best investments I've ever made. And he's got so much content on there that's so free. That's all available within your subscription. And I just think that the way that he looks at life, he understands imperfections as well, which I think is really important. And then now I'm like, oh no. So I only have one more left. And lucky for you, Candace, you've had a couple minutes to really think about your answers. So I'm going to, yeah. Oh, does it? Yeah. So yeah. You're thinking about all these. I think I'm going to have to go with Bob Proctor as my fifth person. And that doesn't mean that there aren't like 1,000 others that I'm even thinking of right now, but I love Bob Proctor. I love that he's a spiritual and a business person. He's passed as well. He was really obsessed with the book Think and Grow Rich. He did so many trainings on that. He's a lot about, oh, but then there's Abraham Hicks. And okay. I made it six. I cheated. I made it six. Okay. So there you go, Candace, your turn. I'll stop talking before I start really cheating and adding 7, 8, 9, 10. So those are my top six.
God. Well, I'm going to try and go slightly different to you. So as much as some of the people on your list, Wayne Dyer is definitely on my list because I listen to his stuff and I still do. I also find his voice so soothing.
Yeah.
So I will listen to his stuff on audiobooks and stuff like that. I find him so empowering and I just think he's, you know, just a wealth of knowledge and so Wayne Dyer for sure would be on my list. Gabriella Bernstein, as much as I do not listen to her stuff now, but during the early part of my journey, her stuff got me through in a massive way, and I do still recommend some of her things to clients. So definitely on there. I'm going to be a bit fun because I think if you're going to have a cup of coffee with someone, a spiritual guru, it needs to be fun. So I like that. So I'm going to go with Radley Valentine.
Yes. That would be so fun.
You could not have more fun than having I adore his work. I just find him to be a beautiful, uplifting soul. So if you don't know who Radley Valentine is, he does a lot of tarot cards and channels with angels. So, and he's just a beautiful, his energy is just gorgeous. So I just think he would be an absolute treat to have a cup of coffee with. Even though I don't drink coffee, could it be bubble tea? I'm gonna go with Russell Brand. I know his
nice.
What he's working on now, I love the way that he is embracing whole new people into spirituality. The way he creates a community feel. I think it would be a hell of a lot of fun. It would be extremely controversial on every level, but I do absolutely love that. Oh my gosh, one more, and it feels so wrong to just have to go.
I know, it
more.
Feels super wrong. These are in no particular order, and we also reserve the right to add to the list later in that, later on.
Like, my mind is like, it's going. I think I would go with, Susie Cherub. She creates Oracle cards, she's an Australian. I think she's got a beautiful energy and beautiful wisdom, and I love that she was one of the first Oracle card decks that I got, and I still connect with it now. It's one of my it's a favorite every time I have a circle, or, you know, if I pull a reading for a client, which, you know, sometimes I do, it's one of her, like, her decks are just full of, they're so easy to work with. So I feel like her messages are really, really beautiful, and I love her work. So I would go with Susie Cherub for my last, in no particular order. See, I've kind of, and everyone that you picked too, but feel like I wanted to go slightly, in a different direction.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
And my table is going to be very, altogether, my table is going to be very vast and...
Yes. And I will say as well for our listener and our viewer is that next month we're going to be sharing our top 10 favorite books and the aha moments from them. So Candace will bring 5 and I'll bring 5. And so that'll be a really interesting conversation as well. If you are just joining us.
Extremely difficult, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I'm not even going there yet. I was like, not mentally prepared for that yet. If you are just joining us, we are answering questions on healing, business, and spirituality. So, all right, it's your turn now with your next question.
On my own healing journey and looking for advice, how do you personally keep your energy in check, staying grounded as a sensitive person? Yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah.
This is a big one. So,
who can relate? Throw your hands in the air.
Where do I start?
Yeah.
So I think for me, the biggest thing about keeping my energy in check is actually analyzing myself a little bit and picking up on how I'm feeling and how I'm relating to others. So it's a little bit like that last question where we were saying that when you start to feel off or when you're starting to feel spiritually drained, that the way you interact with people, or you might be a little bit shorter. So my first thing that I always do is I always try to be aware of how I'm feeling during each day. I meditate every day. That's something that I, to keep my energy in check. It's something that did not come naturally to me at all. Learning to meditate was incredibly difficult. So if you are on the start of your journey and you are struggling with meditation, then please stick with it and please try multiple different things. My journey led me from a place of panic attacks and anxiety. So, and I don't know if I mentioned this previously in one of my other, one of our other interviews or discussions, but when I found my spiritual path, or when I was kind of chucked into my dark night of the soul, I ended up in emergency because my hands became paralyzed, and it was from my breathing. So when I tried to learn meditation, for some reason, every meditation I came across was telling me to, you know, you do a guided meditation, and the second they say, take a deep breath in, then my whole body would just go. So it was a real challenge at the start. So if you are suffering from any kind of anxiety, then please know that, you know, the breathing and the 3 breaths in, or hold your breath, or 4 breaths in, hold your breath for 5 and breathe out, or whatever it is, you do not have to go down that path in order to find meditation. It's literally, if you can train yourself in meditation as well, you're not going to stop the thoughts completely. You can when you get very, very good, but it's not about trying to stop the thoughts. When you go into meditation, you should seriously be thinking, okay, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to shut off the world just for 5 minutes. Set a little timer, 5 minutes, and just allow yourself to breathe in whatever way is comfortable. And if a thought comes in, go, okay, yep. And watch it go past and go, yep, I'll deal with it later. And just, you know, and the reason they tell you to focus on your breath is because it takes your thoughts out of your mind, but you don't need to do that. So grab some crystals. I love working with crystals for grounding and for meditation. So I definitely would recommend, if you have not done meditation before, then grab a couple of palm stones. They're like rounded. They sit perfectly in your palm. They're nice and sort of, they feel like soft and smooth, and they usually try and get to the same size. Start with something like selenite, which is beautiful. Or if you are wanting to ground, something like obsidian or smoky quartz would be perfect. So, and just feel the energy and concentrate on the feeling in your palm. So, meditating with crystals is one way that I definitely stay grounded. Journaling is another way that I stay grounded, but I generally now only journal when things are coming up. And definitely grounding outside. It's, take your shoes off, put them on the ground. But definitely understand that everybody's way of grounding and everybody's thought of grounding is different. And Lauren, I sorry to go off a little bit on tangent with this one, but when I first went into spirituality, I had no, everyone was talking about grounding and I'm like, what is grounding? And I mean, I don't know what you, but what I try to teach my clients is that grounding for me is basically bringing myself back to the now, to this absolute present moment. That's pretty much all grounding is about. So it's about you kind of stop the worries. So I feel like grounding is such a, you know, it's a buzzword that a lot of people just don't really fully understand. They think they need crystals and they think they need all these things. And it definitely, it helps, but you don't. It's really just focusing. And that's why they say, you know, focus on your breath or come back to yourself. It's literally about coming back to yourself and being present in the right now and being within your body right now. So let go of what's going to happen. Let go of everything that's happened in the past. None of that matters. Be present in the now. And I do feel like at the moment, everything, whether it's the news or social media or expectations, this is what happened to me 2 weeks ago when I was spiritually drained. I was not grounded. I wasn't present in the current moment. I was so worried about what was going on or what was going to happen, and things were going to be so different when I was here rather than being in the now. So it's really just about bringing yourself back to right now. Look around you, hug a loved one, hug your dog, just, you know, bring yourself back to the now and let everything else just fade away.
Yeah. And I mean, our thoughts, they always try to tell us that the future or the past are more important than this moment.
And they're not.
That's why, you know, Eckhart Tolle's work has changed my life, because we can only deal with what's happening right now. Candace and I and my life right now is just this moment right here. If we were spending time worrying or thinking about the past or the future, we wouldn't be present enough. We wouldn't be able to react. We wouldn't be able to be where we are and be authentic with you. So what you're talking about is of the utmost importance. And very often it's just that mindset and those thoughts. And a big part about us learning to be here in the now is learning to be okay with the moment and also understand that we don't have to believe everything that we think. And our thoughts pretend to be important, but they are not. They are just a tool that we use to really converse and navigate. But, you know, they're actually not. We don't have to believe everything we think, I think, is a really big one as well. And this is just practice. And actually in my program, shameless plug. Master Your Mindset, a 21-day challenge. Like, I take you through that. knowing how to ground your energy, change your thoughts, quiet your mind, all these sort of things. But like Candace is talking about, being here in the now moment is actually where our suffering can subside, I think.
Yeah. For sure.
That was beautiful. All right, next question. Let me see. I am starting my own healing business. Any tips for getting started? Oh, no, that's not the one I wanted. I wanted this one. Although that's a good question. I'm not saying that's not a good question. That's a very good question, but it's not the question that I felt ready to answer. I wanted to talk about, I'm curious about how spirituality guides your business decisions. And one of the things that I think is really important is that as we navigate business and life, and Candace and I kind of talked about it off the top, is giving ourselves permission to change our mind and giving ourselves permission to understand that sometimes when we go into something, it may look a little bit different than what we originally thought. And so I think that's a big part about it, is understanding that when we, I guess for me with my spirituality, and Candace, I'd love to hear what you think. I just trust that everything is working out under grace for my highest good. I just know that it is all good. And I know that if something is not the right fit for me, I will be gently and gracefully redirected to a different outcome. And I think that what's really important for me on my spiritual journey is understanding and trusting that process. And it's also about knowing that I don't have to do everything, and not everything has to work out exactly as I plan it to right this very moment. And because a big part about what I think that we do is we're kind of along the journey, we're navigating, we're learning more information, we're learning to pivot, we're listening to our emotions, we know when something feels right and when something doesn't, and that takes practice. And so I think sometimes on the business journey, we have to really look at our own feelings, our own expectations, and understand that it's okay to adjust them slightly. It's also okay to know that it's all good, no matter what's happening. And so I think spirituality for me in life and in business is a lot about just knowing that I am taken care of, that when I jump, I will be caught, that I have thousands of angels behind me, supporting me and cheering me on, that my guides are here supporting me and cheering me on. And I always put out the intention that if I'm to be redirected, it's going to be done in a graceful, joyful way. And so I think it's a big part about just kind of nurturing your journey and paying attention to that. And in terms of making actual decisions, if something feels good, I do it. If something doesn't feel good, I don't do it. And I've learned the hard way before, where sometimes I'll have that kind of like discussion with heart and head. And I'm sure you can relate to that, Candace, where your heart's like, I don't know. And your head's going, oh, but it's good money. And then you're going, what? And then you're kind of like trying to figure that out. And I feel that when we can get the head and the heart to align, that's when we're right on the money. That's like that hero kind of stage. But if the head and the heart aren't aligning, for me, I listen to my heart, my gut feeling, my emotions. Those are all for me the truth. The minute that I let my head make those decisions, very often they're made out of maybe a scarcity mindset, maybe a fear-based mindset, maybe a FOMO type thing, ego-based decision-making. Whereas I know that if I'm guided by my heart, and the messages that my heart and my soul are whispering to me, sometimes the whispers are loud through butterflies and excitement. And sometimes they're really subtle where I might not even feel anything, but I don't feel anxiety. You know what I mean? There's a big difference there. And so I think learning to discern what truth is for you, and also being compassionate with yourself as you learn that sometimes we make decisions that aren't really maybe for our highest good or where we wanted to go, but know that we will be gently and gracefully redirected back onto our path.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, I mean, in business, I have a healing business. So spirituality, 1,000% guides my business. And I think the more when you start to trust, that's when everything comes in. Like when you yeah. just trust, you follow your heart, it's when everything just starts to click. If you don't feel full in your heart and you don't feel like you're making the right decision or that it's not for the highest good, then definitely I feel like, yeah, business for me is always, I think in spirituality, in any sense, even just being a spiritual person, there is this, I guess, this belief that we all seem to have that spirituality just doesn't match with business ever. That if you're truly spiritual, it's not authentic if you're in business. But when you actually let that go and understand that, you know, you are guided, and if you're guided by the highest good of anyone you come in contact with your business, then it's, you know, having a soul-led business in any way is a good thing. It's a match. You're staying in that authentic space. You do what's right for clients. And so, yeah, I sometimes end up, I have this quite a bit with things like spirit tells me to create circles and stuff, and then I have this love-hate relationship with them because they always end up failing, and I don't know why spirit keeps telling me to do it. So obviously I'm missing some connection. I'm not getting the how, I think. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that, and I don't wait for the rest of the message. Oh, yeah, it's good. It's like autopilot.
So Candace, I got it. It's good. I got it.
It's good. I heard you the first time. It's good. I got it. And then I'm like, why? You told me. And they just sit there and go,
yeah.
You didn't listen. Sorry.
Yeah, but it could be redirecting you to something different. So I think that's the big part about it. And I mean, what do they say? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So maybe it's something that you need to look at for yourself, yeah. But maybe if you wouldn't have really reframed it or relooked at the offer if you hadn't done it a few times and not had the success you were hoping for. So, you know, I mean, it's really about God. Like
a very big sense of humor, and they're like, watch her do this again.
yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I think it's just that.
At the same time, we're also going, okay, I don't want to waste my time anymore on things that aren't going to serve or aren't, you know, taking me where I want to go. Like, I've got business to do, you know? Yeah. All right. Next question.
Beautiful. Okay. Ever had a spiritual aha moment that shifted your perspective? This big question. Yes. Moving on. No. like, how much time do you have?
How do you choose one? Yeah.
How do you choose one? I think my biggest spiritual aha moment has come from trusting in myself. And it's really, I was at a stage, well, I've read a lot of books, so I don't even know which one I know I was reading something at the time, and it did write something that said, you know, to trust within yourself. And I felt a big shift from that, and I wish I could remember which one it was, but I feel like my biggest aha moment was learning that I didn't need to keep learning new things or adding. I think a lot of people, when they go into spirituality, I think I mentioned it before, there is, how many modalities are there that we could go down? Like, if you've got something, I've got anxiety, okay, and I want to go down a holistic path, there is 50, if not more, different modalities, different ways you can go. And so I definitely felt like I needed to be everything to everybody. So if someone was coming to me for you know, anxiety, I, for a long time, I would just take on like, oh my gosh, I have to fix it. or I have to, you know, I'm not doing what I'm here to do. I'm not just living my life purpose if I don't take their anxiety away. So I needed to learn this, and I needed to learn this modality and that modality. So I have all these things at my disposal to just go. Mm. And I think for me, there was a huge shift in my healing when I realized that, and I kind of surrendered. I surrendered and I just asked spirit to go, okay, I've got all these little modalities and whatever, but nothing was really, I don't want to say nothing was working, but nothing felt authentic. Like, I would do crystal healing the way I was taught. I would do my Reiki right. the way I would do all these things the way I was taught. And when I finally just went, and surrendered.
Throw out the rule book.
And I pulled on this and I pulled on that, and I just tapped in and I believed and I trusted.
Yeah.
Everything changed. And I had clients telling me, "Woo, what have you done? What have you learned?" It's like, oh, I think I unlearned a lot of things because it was all within me. And so that really shifted my perspective to go, you know what, everything that we need is within ourselves, and we're given these, you know, beautiful like mentors and healers and little like breadcrumbs along the way as to find our path. And I feel like it's really important to embrace, like, I don't regret anything I learned. There are some that I don't use, but I don't regret any of that or any of the mentors or whatever that I, you know, kind of learned from. And I will continue to, because it's just, I just love learning it all, and I just love to be, you know, I thrive in it. But it's really comes down to taking, you said it before, anything we say, take what you need from it. You get that from a book, like any of the books next month when we go through our books, I will be saying at the start, like, please know that I don't believe everything within this book. I take from it. And then I use it in the way that I need to use it. And two people can grab two different things out of a book or a paragraph or whatever and learn two completely different things. And I think that's the beauty of the process. So I started to feel like I was good enough. I had learned enough. And then I just threw out all the rules and started like allowing and channeling the energy to come through, using the tools that I have in ways that I wasn't taught, and people just started noticing big differences in how they felt. And I noticed big shifts in my clients and in myself, in how I heal myself and how I go about my day-to-day life. So trust, I think, was my big spiritual aha. You get it all, you get all this stuff and information from other people, and but it's their perspective on it, and you've got to take what you need. Yeah,
that's beautiful. I don't
know what yours is.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, do I comment here? There's so many. I would say though, one of the first ones that were, well, it's difficult. I'll just have to go with one that's practical. Yeah. I wanted to say that we don't die, but I mean, what I want to actually comment on though is that we don't have to believe everything that we think. Mm-hmm. I think that was, and that we have thoughts, but our thoughts aren't who we are. That was a major aha moment for me, because I think that until we realize that we are not our thoughts, we are basically a slave to our mind. But the minute we know, wait a minute, my thoughts are not who I am. I can change my thoughts. My thoughts are old patterns. Coming up on the Afterlight podcast in the next few months, I'm going to be interviewing a woman, and she's talking all about how her name's Drenda, and her thoughts are, her past. I'm paraphrasing. I haven't interviewed her yet, but she was saying basically it's BS. Our past is BS. Beliefs and stories. I was like, that's so clever. I love that. And that's what it is, isn't it? Beliefs and stories, which are all thoughts. The stories we tell ourselves, all thoughts. you know, the past thoughts, the future worry thoughts, everything. So I think that for me, when I understood that I could change my thoughts, that I am not my mind, it changed my whole life for me. It put me in the driver's seat, I guess.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I agree. That was actually the first thing that came to my mind, but it is based on one of the books that are on the top of my list. So I was like, I'm not going to say that one. And then I was like,
damn it, Lauren. Yes. Yeah. All right. Next question. I'm having a hard time in my business journey. Can you share a time when you encountered a challenge and navigated it? This is a really good one. I wanted to choose this question because I think it's something that as business people, we can all relate to. And I think for me, when I've encountered a challenge, so for example, you know, an offer that wasn't selling or maybe just an idea that didn't work. The way that I navigated it is I went, okay, that's not working. So I'm going to pivot. I'm going to stop doing that same thing. You know, I love the show Shark Tank, Dragon's Den, all those kind of shows. And you see these people sometimes that are putting thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars into ideas that actually really aren't working. And I feel that in business and in spirituality as well, and it goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, when you're spiritually drained, when you can take a moment and go, wait a minute, what I'm doing right now isn't working. It's not flowing. I'm not getting the outcome that I want. What do I do? Well, you do have to navigate away from it sometimes. Now you can actually completely scratch it and go, oh, well, I'll chalk that up to a learning experience. You can stop and ask for more information. You can ask for signs from your spirit team. Just say, hey, show me a sign if I'm meant to be doing this. And if I'm not, gently and gracefully redirect me into something better. So I think that, you know, in business and in life, we're going to overcome challenges. We're going to go through challenges and we can overcome them. And resilience is an important skill, I think, that we have to learn here as humans and souls in a human body having this experience. And I think that when we can remember not to take things too personally, not to remember that it's not because we're not liked or, you know, we don't have something of value to share. You know, maybe things haven't been marketed properly. Maybe get an audit on something. Maybe you're not executing something in the way that you could be doing it. I remember I saw this a couple years ago. There was this woman and I just met her in like a Facebook group. And she was putting together a really high-end company, okay? And they were selling the high-end product. And she asked me to do an audit on her website. And we were doing a little bit of a trade or something. I don't know this person. And I looked at her website and I went, oh my God, you have a high value, but you're doing the website yourself and you're clearly not a designer. And so what it's doing is it's making the product, which is probably a great product, look subpar. And so I'd be interested now in knowing whether or not she got someone else to come in and redo the website, whether the website performed the way that she wanted it to. Doesn't mean the product wasn't good, but it meant the delivery may not have been the best. And that's just my personal assumption based on looking at her building this thing out. So I think that, you know, to answer your question, when you're having a hard time in your business journey, look at what can be adjusted. Take a step back. Look at your goals. Why did you get into this in the first place? Who are you wanting to serve? What kind of outcome and transformation are you wanting to give people? You know, when I'm doing my challenge, which I keep talking about, but I was thinking about it when I built it. I was like, how do I want people to feel at the end? And then I made sure that everything that I did allowed them to get there. So if someone's not feeling very confident or they're feeling confident, but they want to feel more, I want to make sure that all the things that I do are taking them towards that particular outcome. So sometimes in business, when we're struggling, what are we doing? Are we actually focused on serving? Are we really clear on who we serve and why we're doing it? I remember I worked with somebody a while ago and they wanted to know whether or not, you know, their business was going to be really successful and whatnot. And they weren't doing a lot of the basic things that they needed to do, which was taking care of inventory, looking at money in, money out, paying attention to where they're spending most of their time. What are the things that their customers are saying about their product? Do they have an opportunity to reach out to their customers and remarket to them? Were they asking for referrals and testimonials to really up-level their business? So when we just remember that there are all these small little minor things that we can do, sometimes we can make a minor adjustment and that can really set our business into the direction that we want it to go in. But taking that step back, like Candace was talking about at the very beginning, what does taking a step back look for you? Maybe it means shutting down the business for a whole week and going away and reading fantasy novels, which is sometimes what I do, not for a whole week, maybe like an afternoon. And I'll go and read, and then I'll come back rejuvenated with new ideas, or I'll go for a walk or a drive for me. I don't know about you, Candace, but I'll talk out loud sometimes in a drive if I'm trying to work something out, and I'll always get the solution because my guides talk to me in my head and I can, you know, figure it out that way. So that would be my suggestion for that. Did you want to add to that particular one?
Yeah. So generally for me, like it's not so much like a hard time in business, but if things are quiet one week, generally I find that it's, as you said, like taking time out. Sometimes it's literally that, okay, you know, take a break, walk away from it for a day, 2 days.
Yeah.
Because often we get a fresh perspective, or outsource, have someone look over your idea, because again, often we are so close to this, because if you are spiritual or you do have a soul-led business, then you are going to have put your heart and soul into it. And often we can't see for ourselves some of the tiny little things that maybe we've done wrong. Maybe you've literally not put a link up properly for your email where you've sent out to people, and that's why no one's coming. Or maybe it's that spirit's going, you know what? You're burnt out. You need 2 days off. Everyone's going to cancel this week, or whatever it is. You've got no bookings, or whatever it is. Like there is always a time for reflection or grabbing an outside perspective. But I do feel like, you know, in any business and even in life, you have to kind of reevaluate when things aren't working, because it shouldn't be this hard sometimes.
No,
it doesn't have to be as hard as we often make it. So,
but we all go through that, by the way, because I've got some days where I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, it's not about perfection. And I think that I was listening to Rachel. Oh my God. What's her last name? She wrote the book, Who Wants to Be a Million, Who We Should All Be Millionaires. I'm just blanking on her name right now, but she was talking about, fabulous book, about how, you know, in one of her podcasts, I think it was, she's saying like people always, like they go through challenges, but they don't talk about the challenge while they're in it. They talk about the challenge after they've overcome it. And that's how they teach you. So it's like, just because, you know, people seem like they're doing all these grandiose things doesn't mean they're not going through challenges as well. But when we go through challenges, we're learning. We're learning how to do things better. We're learning to refine things. Like, for example, Candace, you may enjoy this. A friend of mine who works in service business, she doesn't use the word cancel ever. She actually said the word C. Oh, I don't use the C word. She uses reschedule. So-and-so had to reschedule. And I love that. I was like, that's a really cool way of reframing that particular, thing that happens sometimes with the C. So, yeah. And I think that's what it's about. Yeah. That's fantastic. Right. Okay, my sister, I think you've got one more question, and then I've got one more as well. Here we go.
What's your go-to way of adding spirituality into your daily life? Okay, so for this one, I'm going to have two, if that's okay. So the first, sorry, I'm like, you set a precedent of like, what'd you have?
I'm cheating, basically.
Okay, so my first one is gratitude, because I don't think we've talked about gratitude at all in this.
Oh, no, we haven't.
I know, how bad are we? Gratitude is huge. Like, I do feel like if you want to add spirituality, if you want to add connection to yourself, if you want to add presence into the now and really start seeing changes in your life, your body, mind, and soul, then gratitude is, you know, I guess number one. And it can really, it's cumulative. Like, it can really add to everything. And so, you know, it might be writing a list first thing in the morning, 10 things, or, you know, when you wake up in the morning, like first thing, I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for another day. Thank you for this being an amazing day. And I often use gratitude to, you know, I guess, set a precedent of what my day is going to be like. Like, thank you for there being, thank you for there being no traffic on the way to, or just a peaceful drive to school pickup or whatever it is, because I do find that it sets me in a better mood, and there is always something to be grateful for. So that is my number one. And my number two go-to way is really being present and taking every moment to realize and to be in your body. So, and staying in the now as much as possible. So, you know, if I'm washing the dishes, I try to use it as an opportunity to be super present, like feel the soap on your hands, you know, be grateful for the food that you just ate of it, or, you know, if your family dumped a whole heap of dirty dishes in the sink and didn't put them, be grateful that you have a family to dump all these dirty dishes, or a roommate, or a whatever, like whatever that is, when they do things, it's just like, could you not? Yes, you could have, but I'm so grateful to have you in my life as you load it up. Be grateful for your dishwasher as you load it up. So by being super present in what you're doing, so being present in every conversation, you really start to tap in, I feel. So that's, you know, other than the things that I've mentioned before, you know, a little bit of meditation, these are a couple of extra little tips to add it into. Oh, can I have one more?
Yes, you can.
Oracle cards.
Oracle cards.
I think oracle cards, especially if you're starting out, these are a beautiful way to just check in. If you have not used oracle cards, or I mean, a lot of you likely have, but it's just a beautiful way to check in and ask spirit, what do I need to know today? And the illustrations are beautiful, and it allows you to start tapping into your intuition, because you get used to the cards, and you start to, you know, you don't want to open up the book and read. Who wants to read the book? especially so if you get a good card that has some really good images on it, or things that make you that make you want to make changes and stuff, then oracle cards are definitely a go-to for me. What about you, Lauren?
I love that. I love all your answers. I think gratitude is key. Being in the present moment is key, and connecting and taking that time with the divine through an oracle card. Tarot sometimes can be a bit harsh, a little bit in your face. So for me, I don't always go to the tarot necessarily. I can read someone else's tarot. Although I'm not a tarot expert, and I'm not pretending to be, because I believe it's like an art form that people really, you know, they know a lot of the structure and all that. And I'm a little bit more free flowing in my readings, but yeah, I thought that your answers were actually really good. And I think it's about that awareness, being here in the now and like looking for those magical moments. So I've got a beautiful candle that's here. I've got, you know, little positive messages that are all around my room all the time. I've got my little Follow the Yellow Brick Road mug, you know, adding little magical moments. I've got my little, you know, daily moon calendar that I look at every day. So having those little things that we do that add that little element of fun and surprise, I think is also a really great way of getting started.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've got,
wearing your crystals and things like that. Yes. Also make, yes.
Wearing yes, my beautiful sure. necklace, you know, which normally yes. sits in my closet, and it's like, no, yeah. I'm going to wear that. All right. I've got one more question here. And also, if you've got a question at home about healing, business, and spirituality, we are about to wrap up, but we will definitely answer it. Okay. So my question is, I'm in the midst of figuring out the money energy dance in my spiritual biz. Any advice on balancing accessibility and valuing your services? Oh, it's a hard question. I'm really glad I chose that to end off with. I will say a couple of things. Number one, numbers play a big part. So there are certain numbers like sevens that are really good for online products. So when you are pricing things. I think it's important to, you know, maybe do a little research on that. One of the things that it's really important as well is to understand that there will always be a race to the bottom, like for the cheapest. And so sometimes when we are pricing products, it's about understanding the value that you're giving. I remember when I was talking about my challenge with someone and she goes, well, what, how are you different from other people? And I went, oh, shit, girl, all right. And I was like, okay, well, and I started explaining, you know, well, I've got a background in business and spirituality and the stories are uniquely mine and all the things that I've learned over almost 30 years, you know, are experiences that I've had that are, that pertain to me and, you know, trying to just kind of explain it in that way. And I think that when we're looking at money and we're looking at pricing our services, I think it's important to really value what it is that we've done. And as we get older, we can say things like, I've had 3 decades of experience, or I've had 2 decades of experience in these things. And, you know, the amount that we've invested into our higher education, into the books that we've read, into the life lessons, you know, all these things have to count for something. And I think that when we remember that money is an exchange of energy, and that when we are giving something and we are getting that back in return, it feels like it's a fair exchange. Whereas if we just give and give and give, I feel that sometimes we can have resentment that builds in, or we can feel like people don't really understand what it is we've given them. I've given people before free mentorship, for example, and then they don't do the work. They don't do the work because they don't have skin in the game. It didn't hurt them in a way financially, or they didn't have any kind of investment. And so what happens? Well, then I've just spent all my time, you know, doing my best to serve somebody who then just doesn't see the value and the benefit in it. So the money thing is important to kind of get clear on. Number one, your relationship with money. There's so many books about that. Stuart Wild's got a great book about that. I listen to money books a lot because I think it's important to kind of remember that we need to learn to price our products at what they're worth. If you're giving someone a life-changing transformation, or you're giving them the gift of your time and all of your expertise, you know, looking at that and going, well, why would I undersell myself? You know, I remember, and I don't know, Candace, if you can relate to this, but I was shopping a couple of years ago for yoga pants, and I'm looking online and I'm shopping, and I'm seeing all these different, I don't know if it was on eBay or Amazon or something. There's all these pants that are cheap as chips. And I'm going, wow, that's so cheap. It must be crap. It must be crap. That's what I automatically thought. And so what I was doing is I was looking for a higher end product because I wanted one that wasn't going to, be see-through. I wanted one that was going to actually retain its shape, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think we need to remember that as well, that when we are pricing our products, that when we are really looking at the services that we render, that we can give value in other ways. You know, Candace and I are doing this right now for free, but we're still going to charge a good price to work with us one-on-one. And we do this to kind of balance it all out. So I think you have to find what's going to work for you. You have to be comfortable in whatever number you put, because that's going to be really important. If you're not authentically in alignment with the number that you put on things, people are going to feel that. But it's also practicing that. And there's a really great book I've been listening to called The Secrets of Six-Figure Women. I've been listening to that on Audible. And a lot of that book is talking a lot about raises and asking for what you're worth, and basically the practice and being able to do that. I remember there was this one story of this woman where she had a certain price for a product. I can't remember what the service was. And then a couple of people asked to work with her, and she didn't want to work with these particular clients. So she doubled her rate, and they said, oh, okay, I'll pay it. And yeah. So then she went, all right. And then she doubled her rate again, and she kept on doubling her rate every time she had an inquiry until she started losing work. And then she kept it at that rate. So it's all these different things that we can do. But I think that when we remember that money is just energy, that when we have more money, and, you know, Rachel Rogers talks about that in her book, We Should All Be Millionaires, about how women very often, as we make money, we give a lot of it back to the community as well. So it's kind of remembering that, like, when you have more money, what do? You might go and treat yourself to lunch. Well, all of a sudden that restaurant owner is making money and that server is getting a tip from you, and you might go get your hair done, and then that waitress, or you might, right? There are all these things that we also give back to the economy, and we actually support other people. So And there's lots of affirmations about how, like, when you spend money, you get three times back, or whenever money goes out, I hit like a little spring that comes back, boom, and it comes back to me times 10. So it's just kind of building and looking at your relationship with money. That's a really long answer. I apologize for that. Candice, any thoughts on that?
Well, I totally agree. So first and foremost, like, I do feel, and I've noticed it in my business, that and probably with myself as well, is that yes, when somebody is getting something for free, it's almost like whether it's advice or anything like that, then often it goes straight through them. So I have found that, you know, people that have to pay for a service or a, you know, will definitely get more out of whether it's a healing or business advice or whatever. And I guess for me, pricing, and this was really, really hard. Like, you know, spiritual people have really hard time putting a value on what they do. Yeah. But when I sat down and I realized my entire life is evolved around keeping my energy high and learning and growing. And you would find this in your work as well, is that you read all the books and you know, your entire day, like even your downtime, you're listening to podcasts about, or audiobooks about, like, to learn and to grow so that other people don't have to do this research.
Totally. I'm listening to direct marketing lessons today while I'm taking my dog out for a walk at 8 a.m.
No one wants to do that.
Me, I was like, I'm getting high on this.
But yeah, like I had to realize for myself, well, okay, well, you know, even just the physical, like half an hour before a session, I'm getting my energy right, setting myself up. 20 minutes to 15 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes after, I'm resetting, cleansing my energy, all these sorts of things. So generally a session, if it's an hour session, it's at least an hour and 45 of physical time plus all the other stuff that I constantly do to make sure that I have spiritually grown enough to be able to, you know, be compassionate and to channel that energy and all those skills that have taken time. So when you are, you know, that money dance, that energy money dance, that any of us have, even if you're not in business, even for just the job you do, understanding your worth is really, really important. So, and Lydia said hi as well. Hi, Lydia. Thanks for
saying hi. Thanks for being here. Awesome. All right. Well, what a fantastic show. And I think you're going to wrap up with a quick one card little reading.
Yes,
you have planned for us.
I was going to do that. So I grabbed the one that was closest to me, which was, interesting enough, a card.
Which deck? Can you see a?
Yeah, I reckon you don't have this one. It is called Unshakable Inner Peace. I'm
gorgeous.
So bad at this. Yeah, it's an amazing. So it's a great by Shannon Kayser, and it's a great deck for anyone who hasn't worked with oracles before, and it's really, really beautiful for kind of like getting. Ooh, look, there's cards thrown out everywhere. So
pick that one.
Oh, I love this one. So the reason I love these cards is the artwork is stunning. Why can
gorgeous.
I not get this? Camera. The artwork is absolutely stunning. So it is number 44, and Lauren is the number. She's the number person. So after I've let you know what's going on in this card, she's going to tell you what 44 represents as well, because I am not the numbers person. But the guidance on this card is, come together, we need each other. Where, and then there's always a question. I love these cards because it really inspires you to go deep. So where have you been separating yourself and pushing against others and the world? So this is really a beautiful time for self-reflection and figuring out where we're putting up our own roadblocks and being willing to collaborate with others, which I think is beautiful for, like, understanding that, you know, I'll put this here so that if anyone missed that, but understanding that, you know, if you're on a journey, you know, it's okay to have help from others, and it's okay. It's not, doesn't disempower you from your journey and from what you can create, because there's so much from coming together as a collective and, utilizing the expertise of someone else. So this is a really, really beautiful one. So where have you been separating yourself or pushing against others and the world?
That's beautiful. And if you hold that up a little bit, what I love about that card, can we look at that again? So for our listener at home, it looks like we've got the earth. We've got a couple of people that are kind of reaching up, almost high-fiving each other. And we've also got the rose flowers in there. So whenever I see rose, rose is pink. Pink is all heart center base. And also rose is a lot about protection. In fact, when you think about a rose, you think about the rose thorns. This is about letting you know that you really are safe and you're protected in that. When we see the earth element as well, that's a lot about that grounding, really feeling comfortable and grounded in where you are in the moment, which is what we've been talking about this entire time. When we bring through the number 44 for me is always about angels, a lot about connection. It's also a lot about goal setting and really like looking at the things that you want to achieve. So for example, if you know where you want to go, how is it that you're going to get there? And then with the four is a lot about that stability as well. You know, four legs of a table, for example, really strong and being really firm. Again, bringing back to the earth element here, which is very often a lot about resources. It's a lot about material aspects. It's a lot about business aspects as well. And just letting you know that you really are safe and protected within that journey.
Yeah. And the second card that was underneath it had flipped over as well. So I'm just going to tell you what that one is, because this is incredible. Yeah. It resonates perfectly. That your true tribe can't show up until you do. How can you show more of the real you? So I'm going to show you that one. So this is really about doing the work. These cards are stunning. Don't you want them? Number 12. So
yes, I do.
You know, it's really about doing the work. And again, like coming together, finding your path, finding your tribe with some of the questions that we had, it just beautifully resonates. And showing up for yourself every day is a powerful practice that you can do, being kind to yourself, you know, coming into your heart, showing that self-compassion. So, and I do, I feel completely like there's literally, you know, the moon above in this card with the beautiful quartz crystals behind it, which is that amplifying energy, and the two women are holding hands. And just leaning back and surrendering. And it really is, when you do show up in your most authentic way, everything starts to come together. It is really, really beautiful. It does. It comes together, and it's like the universe helps you, and people start coming in and showing up, and you go, oh, you know, when you surrender and you show up and you give yourself what you need, then suddenly the people that can support you will start showing up as well. So
yeah. And I love that. And I think that, you know, you and I, since becoming friends this last year, you know, we really, I feel that we have that rapport with each other, you know, that balance, that give and take, that wanting each other to succeed and like having each other's back. And I think that when we remember that those are what positive relationships look like, that you can find that, you know, when you see that card, that beautiful card of those women holding, you know, that's a lot about sisterhood. It's a lot about finding people that want you to succeed as much as you want them to succeed, as much as you want yourself to succeed, and working towards that common goal. And it's like spirit's showing me this picture of, you know, this row of hundreds of women or souls, you know, and they're all holding hands and they're walking towards the light together in a line. And it's not like there has to be a leader or anything. It's a lot about us journeying together. And I think that when we remember that as we learn and grow, relationships change, you know, and we get to open up to relationships that are more in alignment with where we are right now, which I think is also really important.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid of the ones that drop away, because as you do spiritually grow, the ones that don't serve you will drop away, and that's okay. That's just making room for your true tribe and the people that are going to lift you up. So surround yourself with people that lift you up as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for listening and for watching. I will say that I may jump on quickly and do some one card readings as well. So if you want to stick around on Lauren Grace Inspirations, look out for that. Candice, how can people get a hold of you, my sister? I actually, I was going to say, I totally love hanging out with you. I actually love hanging out with you. This is such a great show. And maybe let our listeners well know what's coming up for us next month.
Yeah, so you can get a hold of me on Facebook, Instagram, via my website, Larimolite Healing. Larimolitehealing.com.au is my website. At Larimolite Healing is via Facebook and Instagram. I do online work as well as in my healing space, which you can see behind me if you are watching us on YouTube or on Facebook. And that is in Bacchus Marsh in Victoria, Australia. But I do work with people from all over the world. So please reach out if you do want to get in touch or want to work with me. I would love that. And oh, I'm very excited about our next what are we calling it? Our next light hour. Our next light hour. Yeah. Because we are going through our top 10, 5 each, favorite books, so spiritual books that changed and the moments that we received from them. And this is like the hardest homework ever because, yes. And it's also about going back. I don't know if you found this, Lauren, but I'm like going back and I know that these books have changed, but I'm like, okay, how, you know, remembering those moments. And being able to like pull that wisdom, because some of these books I haven't read for such a long time, but I remember like, yeah. Wow, this was happening at the time. I don't quite remember how it changed, but this was a catapult. So you guys, yes, have given us some homework for this next one, yes, which I'm all up for, because I cannot wait to see Lauren's list.
I can't wait to see your list too. And I know like when you're a learner, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to, please, if you come and watch us, please put your favorite books in the, yes, comments, because I am always looking for new ones. So come with your list ready as well, because we would love to, even if we have time, discuss if we get any honorable mentions. Lauren, no honorable mentions.
Can, yeah, I say no, that? Okay, I'll stick to the five. Yeah, that's right. And we will be live on Lauren Grace Inspirations on Facebook at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on April 10th. That's when we will be doing that. But have a lookout, follow Candace, follow myself, and we'll be promoting this as well. And so I am Lauren Grace. I'm the host of the Afterlight podcast. Please do listen to the podcast. It's amazing. And there's so many fantastic guests on there. And I strongly encourage you as well that if you want to grow in confidence, to join me for my Master Your Mindset Challenge. You can find all the details over at Lauren Grace Inspirations. Candace, thank you so much for being here. I love you. And I think we had such a great time. I'm sure you felt it too.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Hi. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a review where you listen to your podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you. New episodes every Thursday.